I'd like to welcome everybody. We're going to get started. The time is now 12:05. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Board of Trustees bi-monthly meeting. It is now 12:05, as I stated. Today is October 5th, 2023. And sir, will you open us in prayer?
Sure will. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to serve your people of this township, Heavenly Father. Father, we just ask you to be in the midst of everything that is said and done in here and the plannings, that you will give us your mind's eye, that we do what you want best for this township. Lord, bless those that serve on this board and those that work for the township and all the first responders throughout the nation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Jan, would you like to lead us in prayer?
Yes, sir.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you,
Jim. Ma'am, if I can have a roll call when you're ready.
Jim?
Yep.
John?
Yes.
And Ralph is excused.
Yes,
Ralph
ma'am.
Is excused.
Old business. Do we have anything under old business?
No.
I'm going to go to new business. I'm going to go with Patty Spencer. Do you want to give us your bi-weekly update?
I really don't have a whole lot today, by the way, for anybody who's new here. My name is Patty Spencer, and I am the zoning chair for the Southwest Area Commission. The reason I come to these meetings is because your properties fall within our boundaries. And our boundaries are from 270 to the freeway down this way, 270 this way, the freeway down this way, the railroad tracks over here, and the middle of Mound Street. Mm-hmm. The other side is...
I don't
is
know what kind of design you call that. It's not an octagon.
I don't know. The only things I have today is to, because you're so big of a group today, to remind everybody that next Tuesday night we have a meeting here at 6:30 for the Area Commission. And the only thing of really importance, we have two zonings come before us. One is a landscaping company that wants to do some eco-friendly chemicals. I've done a site visit and they're going to come and do their presentation. And a return of a family that lives off of Old Brown Road that just wants to move their work equipment to the back of their property, but they have to have that all graveled. So it's the only thing I have.
Okay. Opening the floor at this time, does anyone have any questions for Patty? Hearing none, I close the floor. Moving on to Link Us presentation. And if you guys would like to introduce yourself to...
Absolutely. Good to be with you today. I'm Kelsey Ellingson. I'm COTA's Local Government Affairs Director. So trustees especially consider me as a new and improved wayfinder for anything that comes your way. I know that you receive a lot of input and questions from your constituents, and I'm here to help you with those as well. So my colleague Zach Sunderland is going to lead us in this discussion about Link Us, which is really about how our system will be transforming. You know, we're a growing region, and that requires us to think differently about how we get around. So I'll leave that part to him, but just a couple of updates from me about what's happening today. I don't know if you saw, we just broke ground on a facility yesterday in Rickenbacker to help people get to jobs more quickly and dignify and make more convenient their entire experience with us. That's a $24 million system. Later this year or the beginning of next year, we'll be doing ribbon cutting for our McKinley Avenue facility on in Franklinton, closer over here to you all. And each, I don't want to call it triennial, that's confusing, but three times a year, we change our service. We look at what level of service we're providing and see if we can increase it. We have been trying to steadily do so, but like many transit agencies across the nation, have found ourselves really in a pickle about workforce shortages. So we've had one successful hiring event that was a huge shakeup on our hiring practices this summer. We're doing one again this month on the 25th. I can share information with Steve if you're interested in promoting these good paying jobs to your residents as
Absolutely.
Well. We serve your neighborhood, so we're interested in welcoming residents to be part of the CODA family, as we call it. But we're really excited because this past September we were able to add service. And we hope to continue on that trajectory again as we get closer towards revamping, unveiling this premium service that he's going to talk to you about. So again, I'm Kelsey. I'll give you my card before I leave, but excited to be with you today. Bring Rita
and Koda. Kelsey, I think I'd be honored, and I'm sure the board as well, to put something on our website with a link for job opportunities, because as we all know, employment, for some reason, I don't know where people went, but it's not easy. But to be able to have people in our own community have an opportunity to land a solid job, that would be great.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah.
All right. I'll pass.
Okay, great. Thanks, Kelsey. So my name is Zach Sunderland. As Kelsey mentioned, I'm at CODA. I'm a project manager for some of our BRT corridors, and today I'll be talking about the West Broad Corridor. But before I do that, I'll be talking about the Link Us Initiative. Overall. So alongside Kelsey, also we have Lauren Lynch, who's our consultant with AECOM as part of the project, and then Corey Francis, who's right there in the back. He's our design project manager.
There you go.
So at the end, we can certainly open it to questions if we have time. So like I said, I'll be giving a general overview of the Link Us Initiative. So while Kelsey talked about near-term things, this is really looking out towards the future with the growth coming to the region. And then more specifically, talk about the West Broad Corridor. As most of you probably know, the West Broad Corridor is a part included in one of the many parts of Franklin Township. So I'll get into more of that, and I'll show a map to kind of show where our improvements we are improving. So before I dive in, just looking back the last 10 years, Central Ohio is a growing region. Back in 2014, MORPC, the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission, studied to see the trends that we were going to have 3 million people here by the year 2050. I think back in 2014, it was around 2 million, so really increasing in this multi-county region. And then in 2017, CODA wanted to really look at what our services were back in 2015, 2016. We know that there's additional need for service. So we looked at what our service could look like in the year 2050, included new routes, new services, service to new areas that we currently don't serve today. But more importantly to the Link Us Initiative, identified several corridors needing an additional investment in transit. We started with 27, narrowed them down to 14. One of those corridors being the West Broad Corridor, which I'll touch on in a moment. And then in 2019, MORPC took the information about the amount of growth moving to the region. Really, how would we grow as a region? Would we continue to grow further and further out to other counties, or would we focus that growth along key corridors, combining these mobility investments and transit investments along corridors with those growth patterns? So Insight 2050 came out, Corridor Concepts, in 2019, led by MORPC, and really looked at a model of growth and identified five different corridors for that growth, and one being the West Broad Corridor. So as you can see, West Broad Corridor has continued to be a corridor really identified in the last 10 years of needing additional investment. And then in 2020, the Link Us Initiative formed, which is really a partnership between CODA, the City of Columbus, Franklin County, MORPC, and then of course all of our townships and jurisdictions within our service area. Being in Franklin Township. And while the first three bubbles on the screen, if you can see on the left, those are really about studying, now Link Us is really about action. How do we make these concepts and start to move them in implementation? So the Link Us Initiative, right now we have, these are identified as our three big challenges right now we have today, and these really exacerbate once this growth comes. One being growth, the other being affordability, and the other being opportunity gaps. So like I said, it's actually 3.15 million by 2050. That was actually recently updated with some of the intel coming in here and some other news of some large economic development projects here in the region. And then, affordability. So back in March of 2020, housing prices have increased significantly since March of 2020, 32%, and then 60% in 2022 alone. And that's just housing prices. When you factor in transportation costs, these can be anywhere from, $5,000, $13,000, car payments, insurance, car repairs. This can be a large chunk of, a family's income and can really reduce flexibility and spending on other things and essentials. And then opportunity gaps. So, the county, Franklin County is a large area, but depending on where you live, you may have less opportunities. So LinkUS is really looking at providing connectivity to essential services like healthcare, jobs, and entertainment and other needs to get around this region. So, looking at those challenges, how do we kind of knock down some of those challenges and reduce the significance of them? So, historic mobility investments. A couple years ago, the federal government had the IIJA grant, which is really a lot of historic money that is available. In order to latch onto some of those grant opportunities, we need to have a local match to have some of our ducks in a row here locally and really to improve transit and mobility in the region. And also, we want to look at how we grow again. So combining those mobility investments with growth patterns and making more walkable areas so it's easier for people to get around without relying on a personal automobile. And ultimately, increasing opportunities for all.
Is there any opportunity, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'll probably forget before we get to the end, with the investments into the LinkUS and et cetera, with the $34 million, is there a way that the residents of Franklin Township would benefit by, obviously you're seeing the growth that we are just spawning with Westland Mall being tore down, the things that are coming in. You talked about match grants and et cetera. What could you perceive that the Franklin Township residents would benefit in this LinkUS? Other than the transportation.
Right, so actually this is the slide here and I was about to get into that. So a part of the LinkUS initiative is really not just looking at transit, it's also looking at how do people get to transit, how do people get around without a car. So that could be walking, that could be biking. So one of the elements of the LinkUS initiative is really looking at the holistic picture. So right now, last year there was a process, the LinkUS Leadership Coalition that formed, it was leaders from the business community, nonprofits, and really they wanted to look at these concepts and what's the missing gap and what do we need to address some of these needs. Out of that was a community action plan, which is available on the LinkUS website. I won't get into too in it because that could be a presentation itself, but really looking at increasing COTA's sales tax. So right now we're 0.5% sales tax. If additional 0.5% was added to that, looking at some of these investments, but also carving out a chunk of that for transit supportive infrastructure, like those sidewalk gaps, like bike lanes. I took the line 3 here today, and a large part of Harrisburg Pike is lacking sidewalks. So really prioritizing some of those transit areas where we know people are walking around. And that's part of the LinkUS initiative. But Kelsey, I don't know if there's anything else that is worth mentioning about the transit supportive infrastructure.
I think I almost just want to repeat you because we've got all these fancy terms for the kinds of investment. But again, if we want people to use transit, and again, when you're adding 1 million more people, it's going to be more and more attractive to use transit when you have that many more cars on the road. See, we have a buddy enthusiast right here.
Stroller.
Exactly.
Walkways.
Yeah.
So for TSI, we mean what happens when you step out your front door between that point to where the bus stop is. Is it safe for you? Is it, do you feel kind of sheltered from the roadway? I know on West Broad Street, it feels kind of like a, unsafe sometimes to be out over that way or to walk in the grass. Does it feel dignified to walk in the grass, right? How do we dignify the whole experience? And the bucket of investments, be it sidewalks, trails, bike lanes, that's all what we mean. You did mention Westland Mall. And Steve, I know you're working away at this. We pester our great colleagues at Franklin County as well. It remains to be the case that property is privately held. So collectively, we're thinking, how do we nudge them in the right direction and end up with something, hopefully, that doesn't just have a giant parking lot in the front of it again, but is set up so that transit users or people just walking around feel invited and can easily access the site. So that is another bucket. I got another fancy term, transit-oriented development, right? So thinking about how do we move away from this idea where we separate all the different buckets in life. I live over here, I work over here, I get my groceries over there. How can we more thoughtfully bring those things together? So while we don't have an official lever to pull over that site because we don't own it, we're trying to work as collaboratively as possible so that the best outcome happens for the community, knowing how moving around will change.
So what about, like, I mean, obviously out of the $34 million, if I heard that number right, out of $34 million, I know that basically if we look at from the business site, obviously taking the bus and transportation, it gives more opportunity for CODA, and there's monies to be made. When we hear sidewalks and things that could go in, like Harrisburg Pike, are these some of the things that the residents of the community, Franklin Township, would benefit in because it wouldn't be a cost because the grant money or part of this $34 million would cover? I'm putting this in layman's terms so that we all understand. Is this something that we would see investments into Franklin Township?
Well, forgive me if I zoned out during your beautiful presentation, but when I think of TSI, I'm actually thinking about $60 million a okay. year. So basically take all the money collected from the new from the new levy proceeds, and just under a third of that is dedicated specifically to that bucket of front door to bus stop.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
So a third of future proceeds. It's about $60 million a year that can be invested across CODA's service territory.
Sure.
And then what we do is we overlay a map of where is CODA today, where do we think it will be tomorrow in terms of our routes, and we kind of draw a buffer around it and say, well, if you're taking a bus, we want to look at how people are going to get to the bus stop within 3 miles around it. Or if you're walking, our walk shed is typically about half a mile that people are willing to walk to get to a bus stop. Do we have the sidewalks around that? So we are very intentionally designing where these investments should be steered. And let's be honest with ourselves. There's a reason why this infrastructure doesn't exist today. A lot of local governments are strapped for cash to do this. So how do we help ourselves? How can we think more interjurisdictionally? I know what your map looks like. It's a little bit like Swiss cheese over here. So how can CODA and the Link Us partners come together to create the collaboration that we don't necessarily see today? Through no one's fault, but how do we use a new pot of funds that's actually less restricted? I won't bore you with the bureaucratic details, but we have a little more freedom with to meet the needs that are on that.
Okay.
So it's definitely going to be steered by people like Steve.
Right, and one of the things that I wanted to the people to hear is this isn't something that's going to cause your taxes to go up. Mm-hmm. This is something that is an investment through CODA and through $60 million. Is that correct?
So it is going to be supported by a tax levy, right? So
yeah.
This would bring us up to the level of our peers, our peer transit agencies, because CODA can't provide premium rapid transit using the funding that we have, which is just 0.5%. We would move to 1%. But let me tell you a little bit more about that. I'm sorry for ruining one of your slides here. But basically, we have an opportunity to draw down significant federal revenue. Someone's going to get it. Why shouldn't it be Columbus, right? Why shouldn't it be our county? So what we're trying to do is leverage, I know if we had the slide, it would say about 650, but it may even be upwards of $800 million worth of federal revenue in order to bring online an overall $8 billion investment plan, which yes, is a local match is required, and that is where the levy comes back. But just to take one step back further, I think it was APTA, one of our national transit agencies, that put out some information. The cost of car ownership is only rising. Right now it's about $13,000 annually. If we make investments in more transit service that's safer, convenient, more convenient to use, that actually allows people to want to take part in it, that it is functionally a raise for families to not have to spend that money. So yes, let's be honest, I don't want to not call it what it is, we're talking about a levy, but it enables savings for families. And especially just thinking about when people are living on the bubble, what is a flat tire? What does a fender bender do if you don't have a big enough pot of savings to handle it? When you ride COTA, that's not a concern for you. People can work on upward mobility without having those incidents happen that can derail everything they're trying to build for their family. So yes, let's be honest about the cost, but we're able to draw down a lot of money that's not locally sourced in order to do it, and we're able to save money for families by giving them an alternative, a real alternative.
That is a sales tax levy, right?
Yes, sir.
Because we deal with levies here in the township. It's a property, so our residents pay on their property. I wanted to make sure that everyone understood that that's a sales tax levy that anyone coming into the county would be paying.
That's correct. Thank you for clarifying.
And again, we wouldn't know, other than, like, for instance, right now, if you was to point at Franklin Township, where we might see some of these benefits. Like you said, it's hypothetical where some of these investments may go into. We mentioned Harrisburg Pike as an alternative. Unfortunately, a lot of people have been hit walking up and down through there. There have been some major things. It would be great to be able to see sidewalks in those particular areas, but a hypothesis of this money could go somewhere. We just don't know it. We can't tell residents that it's coming right here or right there.
Yeah, it's an ongoing iterative process. I know Steve's been heavily involved, and we're working through. I mean, right now it would be November of 2024, but still, I think projects are starting to be identified in each of the quadrants of the county about what is most ripe to be ready to go, and then, you know, what's next in line and that sort of thing. But
so right now, I think you should comfortably expect that you will know what sort of transit supportive infrastructure you can expect near you at the point you would be answering that question on the ballot. We know that you'll see a map of the five corridors, I believe, in Zach's presentation, of which I have scooped very much, I'm sorry. But we know at the same time, it does feel hypothetical. So we're answering that question with Steve's help right now. I've been in at least two Southwestern Quadrant meetings where the different jurisdictions are coming together to say, well, what would our TSI projects be? So that way, not only do you have the map of five corridors and you can see what's near you and what's not, but you actually have a reasonable expectation of knowing what's in our five-year capital budget for the transit supportive infrastructure. So we want to give you that roadmap. We want to know, of course, everyone wants to know, how will this support me? How will this support my neighborhood? And we want to make sure that we give you that information. It's in the works right now.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to pivot a little bit because Lingus overall, I would encourage, website has a lot of information too. And of course we can answer some questions at the end if there are any, but I do want to talk a little bit about the West Broad Corridor. The West Broad Corridor is a 9.3-mile stretch from downtown Columbus through parts of Columbus through Franklin Township and then ends there in Prairie Township, just past Galloway Road, across from the Kroger there. I'll show you a map here on the next slide here. So again, 9.3 miles. Right now we have identified 17 stations. So reducing the amount of stops that the buses would stop. So the goal of this is to reduce travel times and improve the experience. So I'll talk a little bit in the next couple slides about some of the improvements that would come with this investment. But as you can see, the station spacing identifies those dots on the map there, about half a mile distance apart, and those were cited by existing ridership, future ridership projections, and if there's a destination near the location, and also future considerations as well. So it looks a little blurry to me, maybe it's my eyes, but you can kind of see 270 there on the left side, heading up and down. To the right of that, the dot is Philippine Georgesville, so that's right near the West of the Mall site and the casino. And then east of there, or right, is Wilson Road. So those are really the two important station locations within the Franklin Township area. And right now, I'll get into that later. The Line 10, which operates on West Broad, some of you may be familiar, but it is one of our highest ridership corridors. It has been historically. You know, Broad Street is primarily one of the main roads to go across our county. So, you know, historically, a lot of connections along the Line 10, along that stretch. So some of the destinations along West Broad Corridor, you know, Doctors West, we have the Hollywood Casino, and you know, potentially what would happen at the Westland Mall site, you know, COSI, the Veterans Museum and Memorial, closer to downtown, and we know there's a lot of interest downtown, and of course a lot of other transfer opportunities for other transit routes. Right now we're looking at about 5 miles of dedicated right-of-way, and this is essentially from downtown Columbus, pretty much out to the Camp Chase Trail in the Hilltop area, and then further out we're planning to have mixed traffic, so still having those stations and those same vehicles. But the buses would operate in the general purpose lane. So when we talk about bus rapid transit, which is what we're looking at for West Broad, this is a lot different than what we have today in Central Ohio. There's some other peer examples, like in Cleveland, if you visit Cleveland in the last 10 years, they have the Health Line. Indianapolis has a line too, called the Red Line. They're also adding more services. But this is also a trend from around the country. So looking at you know, having stations instead of having just poles in the ground where a bus stops or a shelter when ridership is warranted, but really creating a safe waiting environment for our riders. And at those stations, you know, having people have the opportunity to pay for their fare ahead of the boarding process. So right now when there's 10 people boarding a bus in a single file line, that can just take a lot of time for that boarding process. Other elements include level boarding, so with those with a wheelchair can simply just roll right on instead of having the bus have a ramp to be deployed. And other things like being able to roll your bike on and store it on the vehicle instead of having to store it in the front. So really all these elements, the key is to reduce those travel times for those using it and creating the experience just much more better than what we have today. These are some more visuals. So I didn't mention on the left, right now, our biggest vehicle is a 40-foot bus, but really we're looking at larger vehicles, so our 60-foot bus with the articulation in the middle, three doors on the right side, two doors on the left side for dual-sided doors based on when it's operating in the center median right-of-way and then moving to the mixed flow, so we have to have both sides doors, but really having a lot more space and room for additional capacity as we know that our region is growing. And then again, on the right, you can see the, how the, someone can roll their bike on instead of having to get in the street and put it on. In our planning phase, we really looked at, what makes the most sense for each of our stretches and segments. So on the left, you can see that mixed flow, similar to what we operate today, but you'll have those station locations instead of having the bus stop at, every other block like it does today. So this is more of a condition out further west of Camp Chase Trail, so in the Franklin Township area. And then the right images represents the segments that are a little bit closer to downtown Columbus, where it's a little bit more walkable, and we have a dedicated way, which really will increase the reliability of the service for those using it. And then last year, we went through a process of looking at what these stations look like. We had six different sessions throughout East Main Street and West Broad Street, and I know Steve and I think Ralph was there for our session out in Prairie Township, I think back in June. We had a couple exercises, one just having all these different images from different services from around the country. You know, does this look like what we want to see, or is this not something we want to see? And, we collaged that all together for all those different community engagements just to see, steer us in the right direction of what these stations would look like. And these are some of the things we heard, prioritizing safety, that was important for the community, but really making, these nodes of mobility and having options for people to get around in a much more easier way. So as you can see, this is where we are in the design process right now. This is more than just a shelter that we have today. As a larger canopy, you'll have an option to pay for your fare ahead of a boarding process. The curb will be raised, so you simply walk right on instead of stepping up. Other elements, safe seating, and then also screening for rain and wind and that sort of thing. And also having real-time displays, so you're not just wondering when the bus is going to come. You can know it's going to be here in 2 minutes. And also another element is looking at some of our banking facilities. So this option would be the side running station, which would be, you would see in Franklin and Prairie Township, having bicycles, the bike lanes behind the stations instead of in front of it, to reduce those conflicts between vehicles and bikes. And this is just another view. This would be more of a center median station that you'd see closer to the Columbus portions. So we have one station for both directions, which reduces our cost. But also there are some challenges that we're working through on how this would work within those segments. And this is what it would look like within the street. So just pointing at some of the landscaping elements is something that we heard in our community engagement, of really not just having the gray cement materials, really having street trees and appropriate landscaping, and really safety taking top priority, having crosswalks, and having those safe and biking facilities. So we're looking at this 9.3 mile stretch, really looking at what works within each of these segments. Another element, some of our stations where we have good connections to trail, so like near the Camp Chase Trail, looking at micro mobility hubs where people can lock up their bikes, bike share like Kogo, or even store their scooters and that sort of thing. So some of our stations we're looking at what makes sense for these kind of concepts. And then again, looking at, this is pretty transformative, so really looking at what this could look like here, as we know people are moving to the region and we can't just rely on the single audience.
Question. Is this going to be free, or are people going to have to be charged?
Yeah, so right now we're assuming that the fare would be similar to what COTA has, so it's, right now it's $2. But I know we have a lot of pass programs and such that there would still be available on these as well for those in need. So project timeline, we started out at the very high level view with where the alignment would go, what the mode was, where the stations would go, and now we're drilling down closer and closer into what this looks like within our street, seeing what modifications need to be made within our streetscape. So we're about 45% or so in our design process. And this is a multi-year, multi-step process. Right now we're working within the Federal Transit Administration's Capital Investment Grant Program, which really means that we can receive a large percentage of money for this project from the federal government. But we have to obviously meet a lot of milestones along the way. So, we're in 2023 here. Hopefully complete our design by the end of 2024 and begin construction in 2025. Service could begin in 2027. But really, engagement has been, we've had engagement. We started during the pandemic, so a lot of it was in the virtual environment. But as we progress, really pivot our engagement strategies to make sure that we're getting proper input along the way. Q&A, we could open it up or...
okay, if you're ready.
Yeah.
So at this point in time, if there's any questions from the audience, I'd ask that you raise your hand and be addressed. We'll get to you as quick as possible. Just pick one, start going.
All right, there we go.
Flip the lights on.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, you've talked a lot about Harrisburg Pike and the bus route along Harrisburg Pike. Columbus and Franklin Township can sit right next to each other. We have a lot of bus stops from the freeway at 270 all the way down to Central Point. I don't think any of them have shelters. I could be wrong, but
there's just pretty much a sign and then stop.
Affordable housing.
Is there any thought to, at least while you're doing all of this and getting ready for all of this, to provide people along that 2 mile, 2.5 mile stretch of road shelters?
Yeah, so we always take requests on particular stops. We have some criteria about how many riders interact with the stop a day. But we're always open. I know we have a certain budget set aside each year for more shelter improvements. Corey, I don't know if you want to add anything.
Thank you, Dylan.
Yeah, so we do try to evaluate stops every year based upon ridership, destinations, accessibility within the area. Some of that does involve communication efforts with the local municipalities as well, because it is the jurisdiction of the right-of-way is the jurisdiction of the municipality to conduct some of that work as well. So yes, it is consideration every year. We evaluate mm-hmm. the stops that haven't been improved or looked at, and we make a whole new list of what can we pull from this year that could be upgraded for the safety and ease of users.
I think we have two other people, Cindy and Chip. So if we go with Cindy,
go ahead,
and then
Cindy.
We go to Chip.
Where can I obtain more information on it so I can dive a little deeper?
Yeah.
Do you have a business card or something that where it would give me
yeah,
that accessibility? I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a website too. With a lot of information, a lot of documents, a lot of videos on YouTube about previous meetings. Maybe Kelsey has some information here.
Well, there's a QR code here, or you can just type in the address, but it's linkuscolumbus.com.
Okay.
Actually, you know, what do they tell you about how to study for exams?
If you want to leave any up here, and then after the meeting, anyone wants to pick one up, they can. If you can give Cindy one, that would be great.
We already know one person wants one. So, you know, when you're studying for an exam, no quiz will follow this meeting. Just getting the same information again can be helpful. There's a 90-second video on our homepage called What is Link Us that'll bring this all together.
Well, and I know here on the Pike and Frank Road, I don't know what right-of-way access, but you can see that it's all private property
mm-hmm.
all the way through, clear down into Grove City. So I don't know how you're going to do that, because I can tell you I'd be pissed if you tried to do it on my property for what it's worth. So, you know, I don't know how that's going to go, but that's going to be a sticking point. There isn't one.
All areas from them.
Yeah, that's what you think.
They take easements.
Yeah. This is the hard work in front of us.
Yeah.
It's one of the pieces that we're working on. I won't say it's easy, but we're still committed to collaborating and troubleshooting as much as possible. So you've got pretty good advocates up here, and I think we'll hope to have their support when these tough conversations happen, and they will come, but it's worth wading through.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Sir?
My question is, it looks good on a screen,
mm-hmm.
and it looks good on paper. But how much consideration did you have for crime, and how are you going to police it? Because if you build a shelter, you're going to have unwanted people there.
Shelter, they will come.
Right. Yeah, we're always a challenge, right? So,
especially with law enforcement being down all across the board.
Yeah. With these, I think we will have the infrastructure and the electricity to have, cameras and such, mm-hmm. but Corey, I don't know if there's anything you want to add about the conditions themselves.
Corey, you want to come here?
Sure. So, given the nature of these shelters and these stations and the fact that they are going to be much more improved than the current, I guess, aluminum and glass shelters that we currently have to support our customer needs, we are looking into measures of cameras and call systems for people that may have an issue. And then we're also looking at what does that mean for our personnel, too, who have to monitor these locations, and then also how do we coordinate with our local police departments so that if a call button is hit or something is going on at a specific station, they have access to our cameras and be able to actually go in and see what that issue is. So those are conversations that are being had right now in the design phase to make sure that when we go to construction, they're already linked and we know how to make those systems operate.
Okay, but that's at the shelter, but you say you take an elderly person, male or female, that has to walk to that area and there's no call box.
Okay, again, some additional conversations that are being had are also how do our shelter or our station systems also kind of work with the radius in the area? Obviously, again, the roadway is the right of way of the municipality. So we're trying to work with them as much as we can to support them and their concerns, much like that, is safety, roadway, and all that. So some other things we're looking at is those cameras that are on our systems, how much outside views do they have not only just within the station, but how much can they support some of the local areas as well?
Because the last presentation, if memory serves me right, and I could be wrong, but the last presentation that you guys made here, there was a statement that you guys was going to have your own kind of policing system. I mean, like
security.
Security,
like
yes.
Like transit police and other metro.
Yes.
Right. So I will tell you that is not a certainty. Everything is interconnected on this, right? So you mentioned, Zach mentioned how there would be off-board fare payment. There's some sort of onboard validation. Who does it? Do we want transit police? Do we want non-uniform officers to be able to, or to personnel to be able to handle that? It remains to be the case that today, COTA pays significant amounts for special duty to service the different stops that we have at the different facilities we use. We also have a roving risk assessment specialist team. I think I butchered that, let me know if I did. But these are people who are trained in crisis intervention, who are prepared to show up when things happen. So the pickle that we again find ourselves in is that COTA's stops are part of the fabric of social spaces in our community. So everything that happens in the community is going to show up here. We're not immune. And I'm not saying that you said this, but just because we might continue to face those issues shouldn't discourage us from building this fantastic new amenity for people. So the question is, mm-hmm. All right, if we know that we can anticipate that there will be issues, how can we prepare our response to it? So you'll see more of some of the strategies I outlined. We are thinking about wanting to respect privacy. How can technology support us with cameras if we want to do that around our stations or on our vehicles to be more aware and make people feel safer that surveillance is happening and that we have people prepared to come when called?
And Kelsey briefly touched on it, but it also is probably issue dependent. Not everything probably requires a police officer on site. It may be somebody who just knows how to communicate with somebody that may be having a concern or an issue. So those are some of the levels and degree with which are being discussed as well.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Kelsey, did you look like you might...
No, I was going to ask about transit police, because other metropolitan areas that have mass transit have their own police force, so to say.
They do. It's part of the conversation. Yeah.
So, yes, we have one more question.
Are they going to run?
Yeah, so right now, you mean the BRT, the bus rapid transit? It'll be similar to what we operate today. So, you know, generally 5 a.m. to midnight, 1 a.m.
Midnight?
Yeah. So, pretty much. So, we used to run before the pandemic happened, and unfortunately, we got operator numbers up to bring that back.
Okay. If there's no further questions, we'll close the floor to questions, and I'm going to end with one question. Did I hear all of you guys took the bus here?
I did not today. No, but I have taken it on my way to Grove City, though, so I still get points for the three. Yes, you did.
I'm in construction, so I've kind of had to.
Gotcha. I just thought I heard something about taking the bus here, and I didn't know which one.
Did
I didn't
you walk
know
from
all
over there?
I did, yeah. There's no sidewalk.
No? Nope.
But anyway, I want to thank you guys for giving us the opportunity to speak.
Okay.
I know Steve's been supportive, and all the letters we've been asking for and stuff over the last couple of months, so I really appreciate that.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of COTA. My mother raised me riding COTA bus from out by Wilson Road, clear downtown to Lazarus. So, yeah, big fan of COTA.
Great. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Appreciate your time, everyone.
Thank
you.
Great question. Can I ask a question for my curiosity?
Mm-hmm.
Not to you guys, but to everybody here.
Oh. This is interesting.
By a show of hands, how many people have rode a COTA bus?
In our lifetime?
Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
8, 9, 10, 11. Okay. I just want to know.
Everybody at the table is riding bus.
Yeah.
We've all been on the bus.
I used to do a concert.
Oh, yeah.
Get on the bus and go downtown.
Remember the end of the bus line was at Southampton? Yeah. That's where you get off at. That was the end. That was it.
Well, I just
my grandmother would take it to Lazarus. That's where we go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So we're gonna. We are complete. Is that correct, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to move on to Mike.
Laskola.
I didn't know I had a speaking part today, but
yeah. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes.
And
that's 1 sec, Mike. Let me get this. That's why I came. So I don't have a presentation. I don't really have a topic of discussion. I just wanted to introduce myself. My name is Mike Lascola. I'm at AEP Ohio, I'm External Affairs Manager, and Franklin Township is it within my area. We hadn't had an opportunity to talk or do much together, but I want you all to know on the board that I could be considered your primary contact for anything you need to know or anything you need to get done with AEP Ohio. You can call me if it's distribution, if it's transmission, if it's construction. I can help get the right people involved to help get things done for you. I was talking to Nicole and
Angela
about some street lighting issues and some concerns. One of the things that I was talking to Nicole about is we're trying to get a better handle on our inventory of streetlights, municipal owned and customer owned. And I just found out that there's not a lot of streetlights owned and operated and paid for by the township. That's not the case in most townships.
I have a question I wanted to go. Would that be something with CODA that they would in their infrastructure to take note that, you know, the lighting, or do you just light up a certain area?
It's been brought before. But
I mean, we would have adequate lighting at our stops. We know that, you know, there are different perspectives in the research about how much safer you actually are when something's lit, but we sure as heck all feel safer,
We feel safer,
right?
That's for sure.
So that would be something that I believe actually is part of the conversation within transit supportive infrastructure.
Sure.
And it would come back to your leadership and your staff leadership to say, this is something that we hope we can see in the improvements.
What I was wondering is if we are working in a district, and I'm glad you brought it up, and I'm sorry to stop your presentation. But if, as you said, sidewalks and things and people walking and be able to mass transit to be able to get there and et cetera, would that be considering a lighting district for an area that, you know, might be for people getting to the bus terminal or the bus where they pick up the bus? So not just only is the lighting in that area, but maybe down Harrisburg Pike this way and this way?
So I'm looking at Corey here. I do believe that that is one of the eligible items for
right.
that. So,
because we're looking at $86 million, you said? $60 million.
Yeah.
I was looking for the 80.
That number sounds great. That's
yeah.
Good.
It's all good.
I'm sorry, I'm shouting here. But so yes, there is what can fall under TSI is a range, right? And so going back to the buffers that I told you about, where are people going to be walking from to get to the bus? What does it look like? What does it feel like to be a pedestrian or a cyclist in those areas? And that's where these sort of amenities can be discussed.
The reason I'm asking these questions are other reasons why people should, if it comes on a ballot, vote for it. Because potentially you may not take a bus, but how would it benefit you if you don't take a bus? Well, you know, Harrisburg Pike's pretty daggone dark. It's hard to see the street that you come up onto. So some of these, not necessarily do you ride the bus and how's it going to benefit me or my community? And these, that's why I wanted to stop a second and bring that out.
I'm sure lighting will be a big part of their project. And
sure.
There's probably somebody from AEP Ohio that you've been working with or is on the board of CODA. I know Bill Loda used to be there. He was an AEP Ohio AEP corporate president. But I'm sure that we have people working on project teams together. It's not me particularly here, but like I said, I just wanted to make sure that I introduced myself to the people here in the community and to the board. And I'll leave some business cards because, you know, before I was known to some of the communities I work with, Prairie Township, I work with Dave McEninch all the time on lighting and whatnot. And Perry Township, I've got some folks up there that I work closely with. When something comes up, a lot of times you don't know who to call or you don't know who to get a hold of, and I can certainly help you be the conduit to AEP Ohio and whatever you might need.
Okay, well, thank you. What I'd like to do is open the floor if there's any questions at this time. Patty?
If you own the land between the fence line and the street at the power station down Harrisburg Pike, can you get that mowed?
Oh, if we own it? Okay.
If you own the land, I don't know.
I thought you were asking that question as if a resident owned the land.
No,
saying, should we be maintaining
the maintaining
property?
The right of way?
Right now, it doesn't look too.
It's terrible.
Okay.
Yes.
Guess that's something I can help with.
It's
our responsibility. I can certainly help with that.
It's a big home for a lot of little critters right now, and it gets unruly every
year.
Okay.
And what ends up happening, people end up with these critters under their deck or this, that, and
there's probably litter that gathers their bags and things that are blowing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah. Certainly, if that's in our wheelhouse, I can get somebody on it.
Okay. Thank you.
Again, I don't want to take too much time.
Anyone else have any other questions? Hearing none, I'll close the floor at this time, and then we're going to move on. Thank you very much.
Mike, I definitely want a card, though.
Yes, sir.
Okay. At this time, we're going to go to the police department.
Sir, yes, sir.
Yeah.
If anybody don't know me, I'm Officer Troy Hale. Just joined the department back on March 29th. So I got about 6 months on. A little bit about myself. Retired state trooper after 22 years. Yeah. Didn't really like retirement, so they gave me an opportunity to work for this fine organization. We've been very busy. Some sort of police department has been very, very busy. Yeah, it seems like it's getting busier and busier all the time. Sometimes I think working in the Wild West Sector, but honestly, we are doing absolutely the best we can for the citizens, the great citizens of this township. I want to give you a rundown of our calls for service. Then I'm going to break it down individually, okay? So our total calls for service just for the month of September was 791 calls for service. We had a total of 76 incident reports. We had 47 vehicle impounds. We had total traffic stops of 74. Now I'm going to break it down individually.
This is over a month's period?
For 1 month.
Okay.
Yes, sir. For 1 month. For the month of September. Alarm drops, we had 65. Assaults, we had 8. Mm-hmm. Traffic accidents, 51 traffic crashes. Overdoses, 5. Mm-hmm. Stolen vehicles, we had 15. Suicides, we had 23 attempts on suicides that we responded to. Yeah, that's staggering. Missing persons, 5. The number really sticking out to me here is domestic violence. We've reported 42 domestic violences, and if anybody knows, domestic violence is the most dangerous call that you can go on.
Absolutely.
Most dangerous. For simple fact that somebody don't want to go to jail, or when you get there, no, don't take my husband to jail, don't take my wife to jail, and then you get turned into an altercation that, you know, that you don't want to get into. Suspicious activity, 157. Threats, I'm not sure exactly what all that covers, but we had 7. Persons with a gun, 8. Shootings, we had 1. That's just counting within the township. That's not counting the shootings we've had outside the township that we also respond to help the other agencies, whether it be the Sheriff's Department, Columbus PD. We had 4 fights. That's a very significant situation. 30 thefts, 20 burglaries. We assisted the fire department with 32 incidents, alcohol-related incidents, 4, vandalism, 7, robberies, 5, and juvenile complaints, 24. A juvenile complaint, if anybody knows, it can range from, I'm having trouble controlling my son, I'm having trouble controlling my daughter, can you please do something with them or do this? But we try to give them the resources where they can take care of the situation themselves. Sometimes we'll take them and we'll give them some mental health issues. But the number that I'm not seeing in there that I would like to see is capture is from when I was a state trooper is assistance to other agencies, because I can guarantee you that number would be staggering in itself, because you know obviously we rely on the county to support 32 assist other agencies. 32. Thank you very much for that information. So I just want you to know the police department is working very diligently to keep everybody safe.
And to keep in mind, too, as we go into the fall, when you hear the staggering numbers of a car stolen, those, I'm afraid, are going to go up where people think, I'm going to run out, start the car, let it warm up, and then your car is no longer there. Where does these people just automatically come from that they steal your car? I mean, it's not like you're at the station and you leave your car running and someone was waiting for that opportunity. So sometimes we got to keep in mind that... think of it as your car sitting in a parking lot and you're running back in, but you're leaving it running, vulnerable to anyone that's out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a very good point, sir. I'm really glad that you brought that up. That's an excellent point. Another thing is, I'm not seeing on here, maybe Nicole can help me, is the people that we show up that have already committed suicide.
Dead on arrivals, too.
Okay, and that that's going to take up at least half your shift right there. That's because you, because it's got to be investigated by a detective. Yep. We got to call the detective. If there's a long line of situations, yep, we got to go through. So, you know, we're doing, we think we're doing a pretty good job, but we got our hands full. And I just want you to know that we really, as a representative of the police department, we really appreciate everybody's support. And I want you to know that we are doing absolutely the best we can. So if anybody's got any questions for me, I'd be more than happy to answer anything anybody's got, if it's okay with the service.
So at this time, if there's any questions for the police, I open the floor now. Just raise your hand and he'll take a question. Seeing none, I close the floor and I thank you for that report.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
That was a very good report.
Thank you, sir. Very really good. Road department, Mr. Stevens, is he in?
He's excused.
Okay. You want to take for
I'll
him?
I'll clean up the police department.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, we have a couple resolutions for injury leave. The first one is resolution 2023-217. It's approving 32 hours of injury leave and 48 hours of light duty for Lieutenant Ratliff. Be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves 32 hours of injury leave and 48 hours of light duty for David Ratliff for the pay period of 9/27/2023 through 10/10/23 per employee's MOU.
Has all statutory requirements been met?
Yes, sir.
Hearing that, I'd ask for a second on that.
I will second that.
And ma'am, when you're ready.
Jim?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
And Ralph is excused.
Mm-hmm. Then the next one I have is resolution 2023-218, approving 32 hours of injury leave and 48 hours of light duty for Byron Smith. Be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves 32 hours of injury leave and 48 hours of light duty for Byron Smith for the pay period 9/27/2023 through 10/10/23 per employee's MOU.
And it's likewise, the all statutory requirements have been met.
Yes, sir.
Hearing that, I'd ask for a second.
I will second that.
And roll call when you're ready, ma'am.
Jim?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
And Ralph is excused.
Yes.
And are you finished with fire?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so
police,
road,
yes, sir.
Road department, they, I don't think, have anything. I know they had something going on, yeah, that right, they needed to attend to. Right. And the fire department. I had a check mark for you. I don't know why.
I just had the one.
I do have your FMLA.
Firefighter. Just give you a little background on that. The biggest family within our extended Franklin Township family has added a set of twins. The Mullins family, who's Moon, he's the junior. He was a firefighter here, retired. His brother, Scrap, retired out of here. Their Moon's son, Scooter's the giant guy that's our union president. He works here currently. And then his son, Mullins the fourth, currently works here. He's the other giant fella. And so these are CJ's second and third son's twins.
So are you telling the residents that we should be covered for the near future?
Yes,
that
we have plenty of
we have other opportunities coming down.
Absolutely.
When one retires, we just bring it the next one.
The next generation's moving.
Yes.
Training them young.
18 years from now, we'll have two more.
So basically, Chairman, what we need is a motion to approve Carvel Mullins the fourth.
This is the fourth.
Okay. His FMLA. Okay.
I'll make that motion.
Yeah, and all statutory requirements and everything has been made. Motion has been made.
Yep.
I will second that motion. And roll call when you're ready.
John?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
And Ralph is excused.
And then how many firefighters are we at now? We, what, 37?
39.
39. 39
total.
That's with all you.
Myself.
39. Okay.
Steve, what was the resolution number?
That's just
it was a motion.
Just a motion?
Just a motion. Yes.
Okay, I want to make sure. Sorry, I missed that part.
No, no.
Have we got a swearing-in ceremony scheduled yet?
It's coming very soon.
Okay.
Hopefully early November.
Thank you.
Physical department.
Yes.
Okay. So we have motions for bills and payroll. Be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board makes a motion to approve accounts payable from September the 22nd, 2023 through October 5th, 2023 in the amount of $173,990.53 and payroll paid on September the 29th in the amount of $175,554.70. Payroll paid on October the 2nd in the amount of $9,125.82 for a combined total of $358,671.05. And this is from check number 69543 to 69596 and electronic payments from 1610 through 1752. 2023.
Are there any questions in regards to this resolution? Here none. I would ask for a second.
I will second it.
Jen? Oh,
yes.
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph is excused.
Did you? Okay, good. I'm sorry. I thought you were signing something. Yeah, come back
just
across.
Move it along.
No worries. No worries.
Jeff? Okay. We're gonna move over to Steve. Yeah.
So we have a resolution 2023-220. It's accepting engagement letter number 21 between Jeff Wilczek, CPA retired, and Franklin Township. Be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board approves to accept engagement letter number 21 between Franklin Township and Jeff Wilczek, CPA, for 200 hours. At $55 an hour for a total of $11,000.
Are there any questions from the board?
I have a few questions.
And there should be an exhibit attached if you have a copy. If not, I'll make sure you get one.
Yes, sir.
Director Jim Sven.
Yeah.
Lindsay, and Robin, you both can speak on this. There were some concerns with Mr. Wilczek of working with you as a team. Has that,
it's not completely up to par yet,
but has there been steps moving in the right direction?
He has been a little bit better.
Okay.
I think communication could go just a little bit better with him when it comes to, because I don't know how you gentlemen feel about him, because he's
hours.
Yeah, we're still having issues with the hours because he isn't going to budge. He's going to come in at 7:30 and he's going to leave around 11.
When we're not even open yet.
And so that makes Lindsay's schedule a little tight. We're trying to work it out. But then the problem becomes when he puts out communication, because he leads these budget meetings without, like, talking to her ahead of time and saying, hey, what is your schedule? I'd like to set these budget meetings up with the department heads and different people. And he's not communicating that to her. He's just shooting an email out to everybody and saying, hey, we're having a budget meeting.
Thank you.
So that's the only thing is...
We need to work on that next.
Because obviously...
So we're making steps, but we just...
Yeah, and I think it's getting...
Can't eat an elephant one bite.
No, but we're at the tail. So, you know, it's a ways to go yet. I know Steve's been working with him. But again, there's... You know, he's not giving at all. Okay. And we all have to work around him.
Yeah,
so that's
right.
Just... That's at your guys' discretion.
Okay. Sure. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to table this. I'd like to have a discussion personally with Mr. Wilczek.
Okay, so in doing so, are we, where are we at? Is how much time does he have left on his pay?
10 hours.
Okay, so then we will need to set up another meeting to engage in this, and that's not a problem. So,
if we want... With my doc, I would say we give him 50 hours today.
Okay, and then that will give us time to be able to meet.
Yeah.
That's very good. So in hearing that, I'd like to...
are we amending?
Is amend it to 50 hours versus the current rating of...
200
hours. If there is any other questions on this, I would ask for a second in the amendment of the current resolution 2023-220.
You made the amendment?
No, you made,
I made
the motion.
The amendment, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm asking for a second to reduce this to 50 hours versus the current 200 hours.
I will second the reducing it.
Okay, and a roll call when you're ready, ma'am.
John? John?
Yes.
Jim?
Yeah.
And Ralph is excused.
Okay, so that gives us time for you to have the meeting with him and then us meeting again. In 50 hours, we should be able to do it at our next meeting.
Yes. Jeff, Jeff has some vacation coming up. Mm-hmm. So I think he's only going to be here maybe 1 or 2 days next week anyway.
Right.
So that helps.
That'll cover.
He's going to have a cushion of that hours till he returns from vacation.
So that was very good thinking, sir. That was great. Because my question was, I didn't want to keep him from.
I didn't want to keep him from helping the township, but also I'm not going to allow this to continue.
And then, ma'am, anything else for you guys?
No.
Okay.
Not at this time.
Okay, so moving on to administrator, Mr. Mazur, what do you have for us, sir?
Thank you, Chairman. The first thing I have is Resolution 2023-216. Obligations approved by the Township Administrator. Whereas the Board of Trustees and Resolution 2021-130 authorized the Township Administrator to approve and incur obligations of $10,000 or less on behalf of the Township in accordance with Section 507.11 of the Ohio Revised Code. And the obligation period is from September 22nd through October 5th of 2023. In the total amount of $45,738.79.
If there's no further questions on this resolution, 2023-216, I would ask for a second.
I will second that.
Hearing that, ma'am?
John?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
And Ralph is excused.
Then the next resolution I have, this is kind of a cleanup resolution regarding Ray Avenue. This is Resolution 2023-215, a resolution enacting regulations for the parking of vehicles on a designated street and right-of-way in Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio. Whereas the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, the Township has determined the public safety and welfare would be best served by the following parking regulations. Section 1, between the hours of 2 p.m. and 4 p.m., no person shall stop, stand, or park any vehicle along the northern side of Ray Avenue or Franklin Township Road, which is in the unincorporated area of the township between Columbian Avenue and Butler Avenue, including all right-of-ways.
With that heard, do I have any questions on that matter? Here none. This is a resolution, correct?
Yes.
I would ask for a second on this resolution.
I will second that.
Jim?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
And Ralph is excused.
Yes.
Then I have Resolution 2023-219 authorizing the fiscal officer to transfer funds. Whereas the annual appropriation resolution for 2023 appropriated funds to be transferred to a fund permanent improvement for Franklin Township. And whereas Section 507.14E of the Ohio Revised Code allows money to be transferred from the general fund to any other fund of the subdivision. Be it resolved that this resolution shall be in full force and effective immediately upon its adoption.
Do I have any questions by the board? Mm-hmm. Hearing none, I'd ask for a second.
I'll second.
And ma'am, when you're ready.
John?
Yes.
Jim?
Yeah.
And Ralph is excused.
I apologize ahead of time. This is another long resolution for an unsafe building. It's Resolution 2023-221, resolution setting hearing and providing notice concerning an unsafe building. Whereas Franklin Township Building Department and Fire Department has found that certain buildings located at 1204 Gladstone Avenue, Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, to be structurally defective and unsafe. Whereas pursuant to the Ohio Revised Code, Section 505.86, the Board of Trustees is authorized to remove, repair, or secure structurally defective and unsafe buildings if corrective measures are not taken within 30 days after notice to the property owners and lien holders of record. And whereas in connection with proceedings pursuant to section 505.86 of the High Revised Code, the board must also hold a due process hearing that the property owners and lien holders may be heard. Whereas it is in the best interest of the township and its residents to proceed under Ohio Revised Code section 505.86 in order to correct the structurally defective and unsafe condition of the property.
With that being heard, is there any questions from the board?
None.
Hearing that, I would ask for a second.
I will second that.
And ma'am, when you're ready.
John?
Yes.
Jim?
Yeah.
And Ralph is excused.
Okay. Is it coming down? I got it.
You got it. Yours?
Yeah.
Wait, he's got it right here.
Okay,
he's got it marked.
So there's this one, John.
Okay.
And then this one as well.
Okay, gotcha. And what else do you have for us? Is that it?
I have a discussion for the board.
Okay.
Regarding the purchase of two cruisers, police cruisers. The chief was able to locate two cruisers at a Ford dealership in Adamsburg, Pennsylvania. The cost of the cruisers with all the necessary equipment would be approximately $122,462.28. I met with Jeff Wilczek, who we just spoke about a few minutes ago, and we were able to find the necessary funds to purchase the cruisers. With the board's approval, this will allow the chief to go ahead and order the cars, for delivery until a resolution is officially passed.
So this is going to be a motion?
Mm-hmm.
So, is there any further questions on this?
Are we going to, we've got what, 10, 13 cars, something like that now? 10, 12?
I think I was
12?
11?
11 or 12?
I think it was 11.
Okay.
With buying two new cars, are we going to rotate maybe four of those out?
Yes.
Is there any?
So, if I may speak. So,
go ahead, yeah.
So, in the past, what we've done is taking the ones, user ones, and I talked to Chief about this. We have just had some certified repairs with new catalytic converters that didn't cost us anything. We're looking at 80,000 miles, and they've been tuned up and gone through. Those two particular cars that out of the four would possibly be held back as extra for like relief car as well as special duty. The other ones then we could sell. The only cars in the United States, from my understanding, that we can find are these.
Right.
Due to the, if I could have everyone's attention, due to the onset of the car dealership, not car dealership, but the manufacturers going on strike and et cetera, it is very difficult to get any cars. Our budgeting and such that we rotate the cars, we've been doing this for some time, that it is in the budget that we are rotating these cars at a certain point so that we don't go back to where we had outrageous amount of repair costs to them. So what we're trying to do now in order to, we don't like to come to this board without going through physical first to have a resolution. So what we need to do today is pass this motion in order to allow the dealership to hold the vehicles under, knowing that the board is agreeing that we're going to move forward with these two cars.
I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we were going to rotate. I mean,
yeah, and I wanted
we have
the
a ton
public
of cars.
To hear. I wanted to. Yeah. I went longer than I needed to, so the public understands.
We got a ton of cars, and I think we could save more money, even though we found the money and Stephen Wilczek found the money in the budget. We could save even more money by selling more of the cars that are just sitting
yes,
there not
yeah.
doing anything.
And I concur with you. You know, just keeping a few cars as an extra, the rest it can go on .gov would
yeah.
definitely be.
With that being said, and that being on the motion, I will second the motion.
Okay. And ma'am, roll call when you're ready.
John?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
And Ralph is excused.
So then what we have to do next, Steve, is notify them, and then that will be held, and then we will then have a motion for, a resolution for the next one. Okay, that would be great. Anything else for us, sir?
The last thing I have real briefly is we've been notified by the township's dental insurance company that there's potentially a change in the rates for, I'm going to say next year.
Okay.
But at least I want to let the board and the public know that that's a possibility that we can see an adjustment in the premium.
Okay. And I commend the fiscal department because at one particular time with the coverage that we currently have, we were able to find a better coverage for the same price. Mm-hmm. And Robin, I commend you because you had a lot to do with that. I know for me, I just get my teeth cleaned every 6 months, and fortunately I hadn't had to have anything done, but that's one part of health that people overlook greatly.
Yeah, I think it's going up slightly. I mean, we're talking maybe $1. But I know it. We've been able to maintain the dental premium for about 5 years with no increase.
Yes.
So I think in fairness, them asking us for a small increase this year, we've went 5 with no increase.
Is there any potential that, for our, I had braces when I were younger, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I don't know because on my current plan, I don't have those. But is there a potential for the rest of the members to a better coverage for the money? When we're looking at paying $1 more, is it possible to pay $1.50 and move to the next tier?
Well, if that's a concern, if the board wants us to explore that option, our broker said he can look on the market. He can go out on the market and see what is available out there to compare like apples to apples.
Sure.
And then if we want to do a little apples to oranges and say, hey, we're looking for a little bit better coverage than what we get now, what would that look like? So we have that option. I brought it to Steve's attention. He wanted to bring it to you guys' attention. And we do have an option to go to the market if we would like.
So I'd like to make a motion that the fiscal department would look into this to explore all options and report back to the board. If there's no further question on that, I'd ask for a second.
I will definitely second that because you guys did so well with the insurance premiums last year. So
5 years ago. That's quite in this day and time for you to have 5 years and it not went up, and I'm sure some of our members that have family members that it definitely helped them in those areas. So I for the same cost, that was the biggest part. It didn't cost anymore.
Everything else is going up. So.
Okay, so did we? I forgot what was
you.
That?
I'm finished.
Okay,
I'm finished.
You're finished. You're finished.
Yeah. You.
The. Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to remember. I thought of something on the way in, and I lost it. I didn't jot it down. So what I'm going to do is defer to you, and then see if I had anything that I needed to report.
I have nothing.
You could have taken your time.
I know. I threw you under the bus.
And saying that.
Where's Coda at?
I did want to mention to the residents that they do, and I'm going to butcher this. Trick or trunk.
Trunk or treat.
I knew I was going to mess
Trunk or treat, October 28th.
And that's at Central Baptist Church down here on Frank Road. It is probably, like I like to say, one of the safest places if you have children. I see people come in there with like a glad bag out with candy that go out.
It's amazing.
That's huge.
It is absolutely amazing of how many kids and families go through there. It's mind-boggling.
Yes. A lot of different agencies. We have 28 different agencies.
Yep.
And basically back up into a huge circle, and the kids get to go by each tent and get their tummies full.
And a helicopter comes in?
Yeah.
I did have something, John. Sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
I wanted to thank the fiscal department for all their hard work and Lindsay really taking on a tough job, and she's been doing pretty well at it.
Well, coming in after 5 other people, and then been in now, ma'am, two months.
About three.
It goes by quick.
Yeah.
So and then trying to pick up where someone else left off, it's almost like you hear a mechanic takes someone brings a car into a mechanic after someone else has worked on it. It's kind of hard to pick up where they left off. So. I do commend you and for doing that.
Yep, and your systems, I don't know them, I've watched UAN a couple times, and that just gives me a headache. And I don't need anything else to give me a headache. But
it's
yeah,
like
I applaud you.
Jobs?
And no, and you've earned recognition.
Okay. So you want to go to the speaker card, sir?
Yeah, I sure will. Maria Sweeney of Block Party.
I'm just here to...
You get 3 minutes, we won't interrupt you.
All right. Well, Mr. Stevens isn't here, but I'm just asking for permission to block off the road for our annual block party.
Lynette Avenue. Didn't we do
from
that
where
before?
To where?
Yeah, I've been it the last 8 years.
Okay, so I know he's not here, and basically we get to sign. Do you have the times and dates,
yes,
and et cetera?
Yeah, it'd be October 28th.
There's a form.
Okay, so if we had the form and everything is...
I will get you... We have a simple form that needs to be filled out.
Okay.
When I see Jim, I'll make sure he gets it, and he can get it to you.
So okay. I would like to make a... Do you know what time? At least, I mean, it's
yes,
coming
3
up
to
close.
11 is usually what he allows us to do it for.
What day?
What day?
October 28th.
Okay.
From 3 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Okay.
We just have one for...
I'm sorry you had to wait through the whole meeting to get to that part. So I'd like to make a motion, be it resolved by the Board of Trustees, Franklin County, Ohio, that we grant...
So what area of Lynette? Are we closing the whole road?
No, it's from Roland.
Okay.
Just Roland, and then you can't turn off the Lynette from Brown Road. But
so you're
you
going
can
to
go
Brown.
Down the alley.
Okay. So from Roland to Brown?
Yeah.
Okay.
For the time period of 3 to, what time are we looking?
11.
3 to 11. And that's 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. on
yes.
October 28, 2023.
Yes.
If there's no further questions in this matter, I would ask for a second.
I will second that.
And a roll call when you're ready.
John?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
And Ralph is excused.
Okay. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You much.
Now, remember last year we did that, didn't we? Was it last
year?
Yeah.
Last couple of years.
Yeah.
It's been the last 7 years.
Yeah.
Well, not consecutive.
Because we have a few. And, you know, the nice thing about this, and I encourage it, there's a couple throughout the township, and sometimes I try to go, and that's a good time to talk to different neighbors that may not come in a meeting. And a lot of them are at the same time. We have a couple now at the same time, so I'm going to try to go from one to another and jump around. But it is a good time to... even think about maybe starting the block watch in your area, your neighbors, talk to them. I know, Chip, you have a block watch where people get together and stuff like that. Because knowing your neighbors and looking out after each other is a big thing. So it's great that you guys do that. So I commend you on that.
Thank you.
Okay. Next on the list, sir?
Fred Poindexter. Doesn't say where he lives, but
yeah,
wants to talk about North Climb
Road.
North
Climb Road, I'm talking about. My name's Fred Poindexter. I live out there. I've been there for 30 years. North Climb Road is really, it's a bad place, first of all. The speed limit there is 45 miles an hour.
Yep.
Speed limit on Climb Road is 35 miles an hour. But they got signs saying slow down because of the turns. I don't understand why it's 45 miles an hour. They race up and down that road like a racetrack. Secondly, the litter on that road is horrible. If you check the nursing home over there and you check the bridge, you look over there right now, it looks like a dumpster just dumped there. They got a lot of homeless people back there in that area back there. I don't know if they must allow it. They must say it's okay. Now, they came in about a year ago and they put up a little fence because there are people dumping back in there, if you understand what I mean, that little part of the park. It's
yeah.
part of the park. And now we got people living over there. Now, I went back in there a couple times and it was horrendous about a year ago. Well, they went back there with a dumpster and they cleaned it all up. I mean, because they left it probably a square block of nothing but trash. And right now there's people living back here right now, and on the other side of the road, across from St. Stephen's, there's, you know, the homeless come and go. For
sure.
Me. Okay, that's another problem. The growth that's up against North Climb Road guardrails, if everyone understands where North, everyone probably driven down North Climb Road.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the growth, they used to keep it cut back about 10 feet.
Okay.
Well, now they're letting it go all the way up to the guardrail, just
okay.
about. It's only about that much space.
So, I apologize.
I'm trying to get it all in.
Don't worry. So I'm going to stop this a minute just so I can get this. On that particular road, is that our road or is that a county road on North? Was that something that we cut back?
It's our road.
That's a great question.
I don't know if it's county.
It's right. Yeah, I don't. I just assumed it.
We'll
was
have
part
to check in. To see
we'll check in. I just wanted because I wanted to get that straight real quickly before I forgot. But it I'm going to give you that time to continue. So go ahead.
It may be a township road, but county.
I don't know. I only live there. Right. I don't know anything about.
So we're making notes of this.
Donated to.
Okay.
Okay. Now the NEPT division, which is right across the street, we've been having problems with some of the housing over there, you know, not following the rules of upkeep.
Okay.
And they were issued citations about a year ago, and I think they kind of scoffed at it. I think they kind of thought, you know, and they just let it go.
Okay.
Because I haven't really seen any changes in those. I'm not going to get into any depth of that. Angie back here knows a little bit about it.
Okay.
But I wanted to talk mainly about North Klein because I live there.
Okay.
I spent a lot of time cleaning trash up on that road. If it wasn't for me, that place would look like a dumpster along there.
Okay.
People don't realize, though. They just drive up and down that road, and I got to go out there and risk my life.
Because you have the corner lot there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a corner lot there. And I got to risk my life to pick up that trash. And, I don't know if there's really anything you can do about it. Because you find along the freeways, you know, as you enter.
Right.
And that's a perfect spot where they can go out and dump. Nobody can see them.
Now, one of the things... And I found everything there. I'm going to interrupt you again,
okay.
But I'll forward you that time.
Yeah.
We have a lady that probably doesn't want to be recognized, but she does on her street. There's an area that I get emails, there's tires, there's this, and she takes it upon herself, which she shouldn't have to do, and I'm commending you as I commend her.
30 years.
Of PileNet. But what I do want to say this is, if you have those debris and the tires and stuff, if you just put it beside the road and you call Nicole, we will come pick that stuff up. And we want to help our neighbors that are helping keep an area clean.
Right.
We may not be able to stop it, as you said.
But we can help you.
We can help you with that.
Well, it's an important part because that's part of the west side.
Yes,
you know, it's
absolutely.
Right there, and people up. And it shows a lot of how our community on the west side is doing.
Absolutely.
If you drive down that road and you see trash all over the place, just like right now, if you go along that bridge I'm talking about, you know, it's all no hell. It's going to hell in a handbasket.
Okay.
It's falling apart.
I'm gonna
be moving pretty soon.
Okay. So I'm going to let you continue if you have anything else, because I interrupted you.
No, actually, I think those four things, the homeless over there in the park. Now, I don't know if you have anything to do with that.
Yeah, that we'll have to look into that. I think that's out of our jurisstiction.
There's a substation.
Yeah. There's a substation.
They did put some posts up there one time, blocked it off. That was about a year or two ago.
Okay.
Now they've kind of rusted and they've kind of let go. And then the people removed, and they had a sign, do not private property or something like that.
We can probably see if Nicole can find out and maybe make a call from Franklin Township saying, hey, we've had this concern. We've been made aware of this and see what they can do. Because I know it's not in Franklin Township. So we can try to figure out who the right agency would be.
Yeah, well, I kind of worry about it because it's part of my community and everybody else's community.
Sure.
Because they got to drive through
that. I appreciate you coming in and letting us
know.
Because
I
didn't realize
here,
it was a problem.
Angie back here kind of talked me in and come in and saying to come
Well, that's great.
Well, no, you need to.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it.
Yes,
that's
we appreciate you coming in. Thank you.
Are you talking to homelessness in Big Run Park?
Yeah, right there in a park that actually isn't occupied by anything but trees and bushes.
Yeah.
It's right next to it.
And it's a nice little area, but it's not really, there's no access to it.
Cops keep on bouncing them around, so they're behind in Georgian Heights Park, and then they kick them out there because they're starting fires and everything. Then they move over to the city area that's on Old Line, and that area, and that's also County Road, by the way.
And what about these people that are begging all the time on the street corner?
Okay, so
is that legal?
Here's
because
the
they let them do it.
Here's where we are. I just had a talk with the chief because I noticed, like at Wilson and Broad, they stand in the middle.
Exactly, it's dangerous.
And it's very dangerous. We, as an agency, will either ticket them and this, that, and the other. If we arrest them and we take them downtown, they let them go under, what do they call that, Mr. Hale? What do they call that when we take them down there and they let them go in the best interest of community or best interest of something?
Yeah.
He's not done with the paperwork.
I got a better word for it.
Yeah. But we try to, the best thing we can do is say, hey, move on. But the people are so brazen nowadays, they say, what are you going to do about it? They know when we take them downtown, They're just going to turn around.
Okay.
And with where we are today and the amount of runs, as you heard Officer read those off, it's hard for us to pick our battles going, we're on our way to this call, and we see them. I ride out with the police. I try to every year get so many hours in so I can see what goes on. A lot of times, they don't even get a lunch. They clear from one scene, boom, they're to another, to another, to another.
They do, yes.
So, yeah.
But the speed limit, what about that speed limit?
The speed limit.
That's set by the county.
Yeah, that's set by the county. Yeah, that's set by the county. And that's something that you would be able to, just like a meeting like this, go to the county commissioners and petition them saying, can we look at this and possibly change this to a 35 mile an hour?
Okay. Yeah, well, I have been letting it roll off my back, but. You know, lately the trash has really been getting kind of bad.
Okay.
And so that, I don't know if there's anything you can do about it, but okay. I wish there was.
Okay. And
okay, appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
That's all I got to say.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Cindy Klein.
How will Steve give me that paper?
I don't know what's going on.
Oh,
okay.
If you can give me like 1 minute when we finish.
There's a reset on it.
Thank you.
Just 1 second, Cindy, so we get that reset.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
You already know my question. Jeff Wilczek. What's going to happen with these hours? Because you guys aren't here and he keeps coming in.
Well, I think I addressed that, that I'm going to have a conversation with him.
I understand. It's just, it concerns me for you guys and your safety. I don't know. It's underhanded. I know you did, but I'm rooting for you guys.
Sure.
Because
sure, I appreciate
I'm wondering
that.
what he's doing unseen.
Yeah, so... Mr. Leeser is going to have a meeting, and that'll be addressed. Unfortunately, unless we call an executive or special, all of us can't speak at one time. So I commend him for taking the flag on this one and running with it.
Well, I have background in what these guys do, and plus many other things. And my auditors were not up underneath my rear end trying to find out what was going on, and they had specified times, and it bothers me for you guys.
Okay.
So.
Well, thank you.
Sure.
Okay, and probably now.
Kim Waltz.
Okay.
Fredericksburg Avenue, cleaning up our neighborhood.
Okay.
Yes.
You have 3
I'm
minutes.
In the same neighborhood with Angie and Fred.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I want you aware of a house that is falling apart. It is,
it's disgusting.
They don't take care of their house, and it's about ready to fall apart. And they had a pool when they bought the house. The pool has been trashed. Everything is trash in it. And we're gonna have rodents, we're gonna have all kinds of animals in our neighborhood, and it's an eyesore, and it shouldn't be like that. They need to.
What do they need to do?
Clean it up.
Find some help or something.
And they won't. The neighborhood. We have tried to talk to them, and she will look you square in the eye and say, "I don't care. I do not care." Tried to come over and do the drone or droid thing.
Nicole, you want to comment on this?
Is it on our radar?
It's pretty deplorable.
Is it on our radar?
It's going to keep on getting worse.
The major problem is that the pool that they have, it's either like a really like nice above ground pool, or maybe it's
underground. It used to be.
But it's surrounded by a privacy fence. But you can see from aerial images, they have that, what used to be a really nice pool, but then they have like a regular like metal pole pop-up pool inside of that pool. There's trash littered all around it. I mean, it is bad.
And Fred will tell you it's all going down the hill now into the gully.
Is that on our radar though? I mean,
I went out with the...
You got paperwork started on it?
Yeah.
So...
I'm trying, but Tony can't see the pool area because it's within the fence.
But being the fact that, if I remember right, it gives a whole new dimension when you put the word pole, and either it's not got a fence around it, if it's stagnant and with mosquitoes and West Nile and all that.
They keep on having the pest control now. There's always pest control.
So I'm wondering if Franklin County will take that into consideration, that being that it's
dealing with a pool issue that they can overlook that and say, hey, we need to see this.
Well, it's also their backyard.
I mean, Fred, public health involved for this.
It is wrong. It used to be.
Kelsey goes out there and there's a, and they tell her, no, you can't, you're not on my property. She can't do that. I could submit it to the health department, but I don't know how active they would be on that now that it's starting to get cooler out. Mosquitoes aren't.
Well, we can still. We can still ask them. Yeah,
we're on it.
Also, the backyard is
a cleanup resolution for it, but that would require us.
So, it's also growing up the house.
So one of the things, and I know I say this, and I know you probably heard this, something called a home rule. And what home rule is, we put on the ballot, it's a simple yes or no. If we are home rule, our heading is called home rule, Franklin Township. We can actually act on these things as an agency. We can't change the rules. We can't change the laws. Right now, there's only two code enforcement officers for the whole Franklin County. In my opinion, yes.
Yeah.
So getting these things done, as you just heard, we have to hear it here. We end up taking it to the county, and it's almost like we beg them, in my opinion, to come out to get something taken care of.
So that'll take...
I don't know. Nicole's pretty daggone good at what she does.
Okay, good.
So she's real good.
Well, so, we also have another house. And it's got eight cars in it. They're all rusted. They're sitting there in the driveway. And there's also a box truck in the backyard.
Okay, so we have been reading off resolutions after resolutions.
Pardon me? At the end of the road?
Yes.
So I've taken many pictures of that property on different dates. The problem is that I can't identify them as inoperable, so I can't.
They're sitting there rusted with nothing under it.
Yeah, I agree. So sometimes,
I'll go look again.
In order for, she'll go out and look at that area.
Well, so, there's a coat of bus that's in there.
Yeah.
And it's been there for how many years?
It's like a white transport coat
of the engine.
One of the things I think that we can do is, Nicole, think of this idea.
I'll go back out today and take my picture.
Okay, so what if we send a notice, like we had the one person that contacted us and said, no, it really runs, I just have to put air in the tire. Show us, move the vehicle
so
2 feet.
So just do it and then have them prove it.
Yeah, do that.
Right, yeah, put the perf for the burden on them, but it's operable.
Well, what their notes
so we'll have this on our next agenda to, that we pass. We put a notice that those vehicles have to be gone by a certain time.
Okay, great.
If they're not, we come and get them.
Okay, because they've been sitting there for years and years.
Okay, so we will work this.
Okay, great. Okay? Thank you so much.
Anything else?
No, that's
okay,
all.
Okay, well, thank you. And then,
thank you.
We're just trying to take care of the neighborhood.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we all live here, work here, and play here. I commend you guys for coming in. Because I couldn't.
We have a close knit, community right there.
Yeah, it's a nice area.
Yeah.
So who else do we have?
We have Jan. Do you have anything?
Just my name. I'm just wondering if they live by me. Because we still have all the cars,
it's all the trash,
and the house next door to it has got teenage kids that are doing nothing but trash in the streets.
Thank you.
And they should be in school, and they're not, and there's no adults supervising. But that's my two cents. That's my gripe. But I just want to thank the police department, the fire department, and everybody. We've got to keep together. We got to work together and quit fighting and trying to destroy each other and keep things going like they should be going.
Yeah. Okay. Who's next?
Chip? Welcome back.
Hey, thanks. I have video about these four-wheelers.
Okay.
Can I turn that into the police?
Yeah, because absolutely.
They are passing cars down Rosemont that almost hit a lady
and
walking her dog. I have them on video. Next thing I'm going to do, I'm going to hop
in my car.
Do
you know where they live?
No, but it's what I'm getting ready to say. I'm getting ready to hop in my car and follow them, and I will follow them till my gas tank goes empty. It is ridiculous. I have the means. I have, because I'm ready to go out and stand out in the middle of the road.
So we would be able to,
piano
if we know where they live, we can get you the video and at least a courtesy knock on the door. We can't do anything because you didn't witness it, but we can at least let the family know, hey, you can't do this.
Yes, absolutely. I'll say we have video evidence of you riding up and down. We know exactly where you live. I won't leave all the power.
Right, right.
Oh, you can let them know my name. But, we don't want to hear that. You can't. I'm just going to say it's pretty blunt. So you can't trust anybody these days.
Oh, I know that.
Okay. Think outside the big box of Big Picture. Yeah. What if they're affiliated with something, somebody's in the back that you don't want to deal with? They come down, knock on your door with a gun. You just don't trust them. Please, you pay us to do the job. Let us handle that.
Yeah.
We'll let them know, we got evidence of you. Because the thing next time, we're going to come back. If we are able to do that,
right. It would be fantastic if you guys could be sitting there with stop sticks and they went down the road. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
That would be a nice Facebook.
That would be a good Facebook video. Obviously, yes.
The biggest thing, they're doing it while the buses are running. And they own the road.
So I was in the area talking to some residents. And someone came up, they were riding a bicycle that was like, looked like a clown, you know, because they were so big. And he's looking around and he's, and are you lost? No, I'm just looking for my boy. A call just went out to Franklin Boys, they're coming. He's on a, I don't know if you, this was on, what's the, where we put the stop signs going down through there. Hopkins. This is Hopkins.
Yes, yes.
And I was just like, oh. So I don't know if he listens to a scanner and he's running out to get the boys because someone had called in.
Oh, more than likely.
And he had no shoes. Yeah, I just like, this guy come riding up on a little kid's bicycle, no shoes, just shorts on, and no shirt, and looked like he just got out of bed and he was looking for his boy. I mean, but the point being is, obviously he knows right and wrong, mm-hmm. and he heard the call go out, so he's going to try to save his boy from getting in trouble, mm-hmm. but yet he just lets him do it.
Yeah.
So
that's what the problem
that's the mentality.
Was.
That's just amazing. Yeah. Do we have anyone else on?
But I just want to thank you guys for the time. Thank you, Chief Arnold. Thank you. And Jim Stevens does a great job because he's been picking my stuff up.
Hey, thanks for
Both of us.
I just need her last name. I'm not trying to take care of her.
Okay, I'm going to do it while we're still in session. Okay.
I'm sorry. What?
Nicole has the staff permit.
I mean, Nicole has the permit.
And I don't think you can have roosters.
No, you cannot. Yeah, I know. You were sent out of the
room. Nope. So you can have some rabbits and things.
They're friars.
So with that being said, I am adjourning the meeting. We've had all. I want everyone to have a good afternoon.
I got one question. How can I find out who's responsible for that road?
We will look into it.
Yeah.
Will you let me know?
Yeah.
Can I give you my number?
Yeah. Well, if you have your information with Nicole.
Okay. Appreciate it. That's all I have.
Okay. Got it. Just for the hammer drop. Be careful. We're supposed to get storms. We need to ring. Enjoy. Adjourn.